Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30. Take your thoughts on a big weekend of college football coming up as well, and obviously the Titans and Bills on the table all hour long as well. 615-737-1025. Thanks to Jeremy Piven for joining us in the last segment.
I mean, I could have talked to him for a couple hours about his career, and it's interesting that he brought up Chris Farley, because I kind of started to feel like Chris Farley, like, hey man, remember PCU?
Yeah, hey man,
that was awesome,
great stuff.
He didn't even get into Say Anything, which is a Cameron Crowe film, John Cusack starring, where he again steals. I know that his career after that, he had big success as a leading, you know, actor. But as a scene stealer, he's elite, man. Elite.
How many interviews do you think he does where he doesn't get asked about Entourage?
Well, before we came on the air, that's what I said to him. How many times in your life has someone come up to you and said, hug it out, bleep, right? I'll just say bleep there to kind of make up for some of his profanity in the last segment. and he said, yeah. It's a lot. Apparently, that's part of his act, too. I mean, that would be something that I would lean in on if I were a comedian, if I were him, because I'm sure it's a lot.
I've thought about this before, but, like, the idea of stand-up comedy, like, it takes a special person to be able to pull that off. Like, number one, you got to be funny, but I'm sure there are plenty of funny people that can't do stand-up comedy. It's an art.
Yes. No, it's and when you get good stand-up, it's pretty amazing. And I can't imagine even approaching that. I mean, that's got to be – yeah, it's a totally – like you said, you know, you're surrounded by other things when you're performing. You have a script or whatever, other people. You're out there alone trying to make people laugh. Man, especially like early. Well, that's the thing. I mean, at least for him starting it out, he had a very successful career. But the comedian starting out, it's funny that he said 5-6 years in, he's still like considered like a rookie by the vets out there.
Dennis on the text line says, that was awesome. I love PCU, but Piven killed it in Judgment Night.
I did not see that one.
I've not seen that one either.
I'm sorry, Dennis.
Dennis, we'll put it on the list.
Yeah, now there's a list for me too. I mean, I assume we can put all these on your list, Michelle.
Yeah, everyone, actually.
Say Anything is an all-time great movie. That might have been on that thing that that rant that one day.
Probably was.
Yeah. Cameron Crowe, John Cusack, but Jeremy Piven, scene stealer,
Jeremy Piven. We appreciate him joining the show. Check him out this weekend at Zany's here in Nashville. Looking forward to that as well. So it is an interesting weekend of college football from the standpoint of, you know, you look around the top 25, there's not a ton of great games. I mean, there's BYU, Oregon, BYU big win last week. Against Baylor, so they've played a pretty interesting schedule thus far, but not a ton in the top 25 this weekend in college football. Are you concerned about Alabama and their offense? It was a rock fight, almost, as a way to describe it, in Texas, which I did not expect heading into that game. Are you concerned about Alabama's offense at this point? And, you know, they did get jumped by Georgia in the AP poll, I think deservedly so. Georgia, to me, looks like the best team in the country so far. But what are your thoughts on Alabama and Bryce Young and what we've seen from that offense thus far?
Well, I mean, it's a great point by Ubbin. Most of last year, it was like, geez, these guys are really ordinary, right? And then we know how it ended. And so I think you do look back and think differently about the whole season when, if you really go back and look at it, they were underwhelming a lot of last year. So now you take away more NFL receivers, because I know it just seems like they just keep cycling through guys, but you can't expect that to just continue year after year after year and be at the same level. They've had just some incredible talent at that position. I still think they're going to be fine because of him, because Bryce Young is special. And I think that their defense is also special, and that's why I picked them to win it all this year, because I think this could end up being one of those great Saban defenses. But, yeah, Ubbin makes a great point. A matchup like Tennessee. I mean, as he's saying that, I'm looking at you like, come on, man.
Oh, boy.
Get ready for the Vols. I will say this. The Vols, I think that offense can score on just about anyone. Not Georgia's defense from last year. But I'm not convinced that anyone on the schedule this year is just going to lock them up. I probably at Georgia would be the biggest chance of that. If you can take a few shots and Alabama hasn't figured anything out, their offensive lines look questionable, why can't that be a game in Neyland Stadium? Why can't it be? It was a game for three quarters in their house last year.
16 consecutive years of history would suggest otherwise.
But I'm not even saying win it. Okay. I'm just saying,
right, I'm just throwing
that
out.
Can you have a game, you know? And I think it's possible. Now, well, I also think they could
game
be a lot
last year for three quarters, and then right. It was not anymore.
Like, when we look back over time, it just looks like another blowout. It was progress.
It was.
So, can they make that a four-quarter game? I'm not ruling it out, but we also don't know how much Alabama's going to get better. They typically tend to do that.
By the way, Megan on the text line says, is Petit Frere calling in today? I thought I heard someone say earlier, but now I might just be crazy. We were not able to connect with him. So
it's unfortunate because we could have had the combination of largest and smallest guest ever in the show history in the same day. No offense, Jeremy Piven, if you're listening.
That's right. could have been amazing stuff, but we have rescheduled with Petit Frere, so we'll get to him. Hopefully sometime, maybe next week. We'll see what happens on that front. Dennis texting back in, very upset that we have not seen Judgment Night, Elite movie, and Elite soundtrack as well. So, there you go.
Yeah, That's my bad. In Heat, too, Byron said. That's a good point. He was, again, yes, of course, old school. He's a principal. He's cheese. He said that, you know, the cheese.
Yeah.
Michelle, you got that one, right? Old school?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've seen that one.
He's the principal.
Yeah.
Or not the principal. He's the dean. Like the guy who's trying to get him kicked out of school.
The dean.
Honestly, I hate to rat my parents out, but I watched that probably in elementary school with them, so I don't really remember. Yeah,
I'm curling up in a ball of depression when you just said that. My God.
What did you make of what Ubbin said? It is when he laid out the buyout for Jimbo Fisher.
So awesome.
Like I don't guess they've been able to like fully get a concrete number, but around $94 million is what David Ubbin said. What the buyout would be right now for Texas for a Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. So
that
tells me you're probably not going to fire him, but I'm here to tell you, if they lose this game tomorrow, which they're playing Miami, and they're a 6.5-point favorite at home, man, you're 1-2 heading into conference play if you're Jimbo Fisher. It's not going to go over well down there.
Look, another like 5-6 years before they can afford to fire him, you know, just have a little patience, Aggies fans. You know, you don't have to go an entire decade before you can fire him. Just several seasons. It'll be fine.
Yeah. By the way, is this from – I need to check with this VolQuest. Is this real? Are they giving Josh Heupel an extension?
Oh, boy.
Jared quoted it and said, why?
Oh, boy. Is that right? Don't do that. Don't do that, Tennessee.
let's make sure this is real first.
I mean, Austin – I mean, that is Austin –
It is real.
That is actually Austin Price.
It's coming from Austin Price. Says Josh Heupel has agreed to a new deal with Tennessee that puts him over $5 million per year, which is a $1 million raise. So if it's just a raise, then like, okay.
I mean, yeah, I suppose, you know, because obviously we know about extensions in Tennessee early seasons and all that. I will say they did just beat Pittsburgh. The $5 million per year for him anymore today is actually still kind of.
It's not bad.
But, you know, it's fine, but it's not elite money. So, but, you know, I guess to me it's like I like the idea of a reward after a season's over and just sort of ride out the season. Like, was it necessary to do this? No one's coming after Josh Heupel in September, right?
No.
So, okay.
Well, we've never seen
if the program nosedives from here, then we know why.
We've never seen contract extensions being handed out at Tennessee that have gone poorly. It's never happened.
I mean, maybe one.
I mean, I guess this is not technically an extension. It's just a raise.
Yeah. And
so it is different.
I will say that, you know, raises for the football staff, you know, that's a thing that we fixate on the head coach salary. Of course, it's the biggest number and all that. And like football coaches will tell you, like the allotment for entire staff pay is such a big deal with success or failure. They got a few guys on that staff, starting with Rodney Garner, who should be getting paid more than they were. I mean, I think he's done some magical work there. And I mean, I think the offensive staff obviously too. So,
well, according to VolQuest, the salary of $5 million still puts him. It says, quote, roughly 11th in the SEC in compensation based on published reports of salaries of head coaches in the league. Obviously, I don't think we technically know what like Clark Lee is making because it's a private university, but roughly 11th in the SEC, according to VolQuest. So when you think about it that way, Like, okay.
Right. But that's the thing. So let's say they have this year. Let's say they have a 9-3 year. Let's, you know, I'm not ready to go to 10-2. Let's say they go 9-3. I think they can. So at that point, I'd be looking to maybe have him in the top half of the. They're just going to do this again?
I don't know.
I'd wait and make it a bigger raise. But Austin tweets, this has been happening since the end of last season. It's just now getting finalized. Okay. Why? I mean, like, why not just.
I don't know.
I mean, is it just now getting finalized? And while we wait to see if he beats Pittsburgh? Okay, beat Pittsburgh. All right, let's go. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little weird, but that's interesting context. 11th in the SEC. You're talking about a program that's, we know the recent history of the program, and a coach who still has a lot to prove. I don't know. $5 million a year is decent.
Well, you know, we were just talking about a $94 million buyout with Jimbo Fisher. VolQuest puts it out there that the buyout, should he leave, is $8 million if he leaves before December 15th of 2023.
A little bit different.
A little bit of a different pay scale there and difference when it comes to Josh Heupel.
I need to get on some Aggies
and Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah. Where's the fireworks at a presser this week? I was expecting some real
fun. Yeah, it was very
calm.
Yeah. Not much.
He's just trying to turtle. He's trying to hide right now.
I think he might be. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans and Bills coming up next. Pickskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30 as well. So looking forward to that. But before we go, Michelle has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, Robbie. From Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. You don't need to be at the game to enjoy football this season. Download the Superbook Sportsbook app. I just downloaded it. Or visit sportsbook.com and start placing your bets now. A couple NFL games coming up this weekend. I think this is an easy one. I'm taking the Steelers minus the 2.5 over the Patriots. Max Jones didn't practice a little bit this week. And then also, I think the Bengals are going to have a bounce back week. I think they're going to win minus the 7 over the Cowboys. Right now, Superbook has lines up for every pro football game for the rest of the season. Plus, which team will win the title, who's your MVP, and who will surprise you in the SEC if you want to get in on some futures action. Wager on all that and more right now at Superbook Sports. Along with football, Superbook accepts wagers on every other major sport. So bring Vegas to the palm of your hands, and now Superbook will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. Get in on the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are at home at First Horizon Park, taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
Can I make a plea to thank you for Jeremy Piven coming in. I'm sure that Eddie Vedder is listening too. You know, I know that you guys played Breath and State of Love and Trust for your encore, your last show. Please play them both again tonight, please. Actually, along with Chloe Dancer and Not For You, and I'm happy. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
I have one plea for them. Get Scott Stapp in the building. Get him up on stage.
Good Lord.
And sing together. That's my plea for Pearl Jam tonight at Bridgestone Arena.
In honor of Jeremy Piven, do I buy a Pearl Jam t-shirt and wear it to the concert?
Yeah.
So you got to watch the movie PCU, which he, by the way, told us that he improvised that line. You never be that guy, he told Jon Favreau in the movie. Never be that guy who wears the shirt of the band you're seeing in concert. That's a life rule.
I think you should be that guy.
I've lived that, seriously, as a life rule for 30 years.
I totally wore a One Direction shirt at a One Direction concert years ago.
Yeah, in totally. Any context, that's wrong. You shouldn't wear that to bed.
Shout out to One Direction. Great stuff. You're on the program. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bills. Joe, some interesting takes this week. You talked about this a little bit earlier, but Advanced stats after week one. A lot of those being pointed out, not just with the Titans, but really around the league. When we start to get into these conversations, I enjoy analytics, advanced stats, all of those things in sports. They've got a place. The most important part of that equation to me is sample size. And you know, in hockey, you talk about when do you start to pay attention to the advanced stats. I give it 20, 25 games, and you're like, okay, we're about a fourth of the way through the season. You start to pay attention to that stuff. Football season, I don't know, week four, week five, week six.
Yeah, it's about the same percentage, right?
Yeah.
About a month in.
That's about when I start to pay attention to that stuff. People are rolling this week with the Titans offense. Some expect to be pretty explosive as they move forward here.
Well, it's a super interesting stat, and so if you work for the Tennessee Titans and they find these stats for the supplemental notes every week, and they're usually really good and fascinating, and the stat is they led the NFL with 7 completions of 20 or more yards. Like, if you told me that stat without watching the game or having an idea what the result is, and you just said that to me about the game, I'd be like, wow, no kidding.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go through it and it's, hey, I don't know what happened with Dontrell. I'm sorry. It's a problem. I've done this before. I don't know what happened with him out of the backfield. The Giants didn't cover him, but, hey, those are good plays. They schemed up a boot and got Cody Hollister 22 yards. Nice. Let's talk OC. That was a nice play. There were a couple plays that were downfield throws, you know, one to Burks, one to Phillips, that I would count as, like, those are good. And then you did have one, like, you had one time that Ryan Tannehill actually threw the ball with distance, and it was what should have been called a PI. So that's good.
Yeah.
But overall, that stat would suggest to me, okay, maybe the explosiveness of this passing game is a little better than you think. I don't think that after one game. I'm also, again, keeping an open mind because I think Burks can be explosive, and we don't know how things are going to play out. These, like you said, the stats like that, or like anything, can be, you just gotta, you know, first of all,
just pump the brakes.
Dig in on what it means. Yeah. Okay, specifically what happened. And then also, like you said, I mean, let's give it a little bit of time here. And that includes on the other side with Derrick Henry.
For sure. There's no question about it. I mean, it's 1 week of a 17-week puzzle that you're trying to put together out there. So, you know, I'm leaving an open mind to the Titans passing game being effective this year. Like, I still think if you get good play out of the offensive line, if the offensive line is a better pass blocking unit this year than it was a year ago, I think Ryan Tannehill's gonna be able to make some plays. Like, I mean, all the things we've talked about, the explosiveness of the passing game, maybe not quite seeing totally what you wanted to see, especially out of some veteran guys on Sunday. I mean, we're still looking at a stat line from Ryan Tannehill that is right up there with most of that he had last year. I mean, he played well in that game Sunday. So I still think, you know, speaking of leaving an open mind, like, I think there's a chance as the year goes on that the offense, the passing attack for the Titans is going to continue to get better and better. It's just, what does it all mean for this game coming up on Monday against Buffalo? And that's the tough part to figure out.
Right, and I don't think it'll ever get to the point where it's confused with some of the most explosive passing attacks in the NFL.
No.
But can it be good? I wouldn't rule it out. Really liked Phillips. I liked the glimpse of Burks, and it needs to be more than glimpses. And Hooper, I talked to Hooper yesterday in the locker room, and it's pretty non-committal. Basically, like, just do what I do in this offense. If the ball comes my way, then I got to catch it. You know, I mean, it's basic stuff. And Robert Woods basically said the same thing. Those two guys, I mean, I don't know with Westbrook and Keenan. I mean, I think some weeks he'll produce. But I think that some of those snaps, ideally, if Treylon Burks keeps coming, go to Burks.
But I would hope so.
Woods and Hooper, they've got to be more involved. They should be more involved. And that's, I think, in both cases, that will look like an aberration. I think those may look like an aberration. And I think the leading the NFL in 20-plus yard pass plays may also.
Well, I do think, you know, just kind of reading between the lines of Rabel this week, too, I think he's, you know, maybe leaning in a little bit on Treylon Burks as they move forward here. Like, he talked about, you know, learning how to, you know, not run through someone and maybe run around him a little bit more. But all in all, like, the tone that Rabel has taken this week with the two rookies, I think, has been pretty positive. Now, what's not good news for the Titans is Kyle Phillips was a big part of your passing game last week, and all of a sudden the injury report comes out yesterday, and he didn't practice with a shoulder injury. So are we already, you know, a week into his career here dealing with an injury that puts his status in doubt coming up on Monday? Now, maybe, look, maybe he's out there today, he's fine, and he practices, and he's ready to go. We'll see as that continues to develop here. But we did talk about this week. Sure seems like he takes a few hits out there at his size, and now he's on the injury report with a shoulder.
Well, Adam Humphries.
Yeah.
It was a good investment in terms of what he can do for you. He worked well in this offense. And, again, it's been basically the same offense. Vrabel's been here. When he was healthy, he was a real asset, and that's why they drafted Kyle Phillips. Also, Adam Humphries is not a big guy, and he got hurt a lot, and they moved on. And it's not great that you have a shoulder after week one with Phillips. And I just don't know how you avoid that. Like, the nature of that position is the people who hit you a lot are linebackers, and they're much bigger than you.
Yeah.
And so it's a not great injury report for the Titans here.
Well, the hamstrings are the thing that concerned me with Fulton and Hilliard from the standpoint of, I think we've seen enough evidence of hamstrings around here where they don't just go away. Like even Harold Landry last year, he had a hamstring and it was not severe enough to where, you know, he couldn't play through it. But every week he was on the injury report with a hamstring. He just found a way to battle through. So, like, I look at a guy like Hilliard, who made a couple of huge plays, obviously, last week against the Giants. And I look at the hamstring part of it, and I think, okay, well, is he going to be ready by Monday night? If Fulton's not ready, if he can't play, that could be a huge problem in this game against the Bills. So the hamstring injuries with those two guys make me pretty nervous heading into this game.
Yeah, they need Fulton playing like he did last year at corner in this game. And they may need, we talked with TD earlier, they may need Farley too, you know, in this matchup. And maybe they're better that way. Maybe they're better with those three. You know, McCreary is definitely going to be out there. I mean, McCreary is one of those things we haven't talked about much this week. But when you never even look at a cornerback in a particular game or call his name out, essentially, for the most part.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it means he probably did his job. So, it's a big deal, though, in the hammies, and it's like, okay, well, maybe a week and it's way better, maybe 3 weeks and it's better. Sometimes it is. Sometimes guys want to fight through it, like you said. Landry, I kind of forgot about that. There were so many other people who had hammies last year, primarily the top receivers on the team. But
yeah,
it's the hammy virus, man.
Showing itself early so far this season. Don't miss Nashville's Best NFL Pregame Show this Monday night, live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 3:45 to 5:45 prior to the Titans taking on the Buffalo Bills. The NFL Pregame Show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Coming up next, it is time for Pigskin Pick'em. Looking forward to that. Coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It's time, that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of interesting games this weekend that we'll get to. Three picks that we all have in common, three individual picks as well. Joe Rex wrote a quick standings update in the competition.
Yeah, I'd say none of us did great. Robbie, you are ahead, 3-3, 3 points, Mr. Lock. Michelle, 2-4, 3 points, got her lock. What was your lock? Was that your cat's?
Ravens, I think, were my lock.
I think it was.
Yeah. And then I'm 2-4 with 2 points missing my lock. And, man, what a brutal week with some of these late bad beats. But, oh, well, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do when the stupid Lions who stink just cover at the end? Or, you know, the Panthers let the freaking Browns beat them? Whatever.
Maybe you just don't give enough respect to the Lions. Maybe what we learned in week one.
Well, let's get to some more of that then.
Well, looking forward do that. We'll get things kicked off with Vanderbilt taking on Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois, a 2.5-point favorite in this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'll start us off because, you know, I'm in first place. I'll go with Vanderbilt in this game, +2.5. Not only will they cover, Joe Rexrode, Vanderbilt wins the game outright on the road. They improve to 3-1. I expect Vanderbilt's offense to respond from last week. They'll move the ball. I think Northern Illinois is going to score some points as well. But Mike Wright outduels Northern Illinois at the end, and Vanderbilt wins. So give me Vanderbilt plus the 2.5. Michelle Knezevic, Vanderbilt and Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois minus 2.5 in this game.
Robbie, I am going to agree with you on that one. I'm taking Vanderbilt plus the 2.5. I think they're going to have a bounce back week, and I think they need to get this win for them this week. It's one of the games you guys talked about earlier. It is a doable win for this team. I think they need to get it under their belt, and I think they win outright as well. So give me Vanderbilt plus the 2.5, and like I said, on the money line as well.
Joe Rexroad, Northern Illinois, favored by 2.5 in this game.
When did we become a Vanderbilt homer show?
I just want to point out, you've always been.
That's true. Vandy Joe.
I just want to point out, I think I picked Vanderbilt one time last year in Pigskin Pick'em to cover. I've matched it.
That's a good recall. I don't know how many times I did, but I'm gonna make it a clean sweep here. I think Vanderbilt wins a close game on the road.
There we go.
Sorry, Vanderbilt fans. 17-point loss incoming.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on that front. Akron taking on Tennessee at Neyland Stadium coming up tomorrow night under the lights. Tennessee favored by 46.5 in this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Michelle, we begin with you. Akron versus Tennessee. Vols by 46.5.
Listen, last week I did the Michigan-Hawaii 51.5-point spread. They were so close. But listen, I'm not going to do it again this week. I'm going to pick Akron plus the 47.5. Just too big of a spread. I think Tennessee is going to win, obviously, easily. Win by a couple touchdowns, but 47.
A couple.
I'm going to say two, at least.
Two touchdowns.
Wow, so you're calling a close game. Wow.
No, that's not close.
That's pretty close against
it's,
Akron.
It's Vandy Joe and Zippy Michelle.
Yeah. A lot of love for the Zips coming out over there.
Three touchdowns.
All right, Joe Rexroad, Tennessee minus 46.5 in this game against Akron.
Yeah, I'm lucky that I picked Hawaii last week, or I really would have had a terrible week. But I'm kind of the same mind. I see the garbage touchdown in there late, or yeah, you get a couple three and outs. It's hard to cover that big a spread, so give me the Zips.
I'm going Vols. I think the Vols, they had some problems offensively, and I think Josh Heupel is going to want to do a lot of work on that front side of the ball. I think the Vols offense is going to roll in this game. I think they'll be able to run the ball. And quite frankly, I think when Joe Milton gets in there, they want to give him some quality work this year in case they need it. So I think the Vols are going to hang up somewhere in the 60s in this game, and I feel like their defense will hold them to that spread. So give me the Vols minus 46.5.
Another Joe Milton reference. Yes.
It's three in the show today.
It's a lot today.
We lead the state.
That's no question about that. The Titans and the Bills coming up on Monday Night Football. We won't find out the answer to this until obviously Monday night, Joe Rexroad, but you begin on this. The Bills favored by 9.5 in this game. Big line.
Yeah, I'll go Titans. I don't think the Titans are going to win the game. I think they are going to keep it right around a touchdown in the end and have a credible effort that they can build on, but hard for me to pick them to outright win it. I think it would be as good as I think Buffalo is. I think it would be a big disappointment if they just roll over the Titans in this game. And I do think that there are some matchup things that we've seen the last couple of years that the Titans can lean in on Monday as well.
I'm going Bills, minus 9.5. I think Bills win by 10 in this game. So it's really close for me. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game. But I think a late touchdown and the Bills pull away in this game, and they end up winning by around 10. So I'll get the Bills minus 9.5. Michelle Knezevic, Bills favored by 9.5 in this game.
I'm going to go Tennessee plus the 9.5. I'm kind of on Joe's side with this. I think the Bills are going to win outright by a touchdown. But I think it's also going to be a close game through about three quarters, and the Bills pull away in the fourth quarter. So, sorry, Titans fans.
There we go. We move ahead to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, you can begin your first individual selection.
All right, Jimbo, now the pressure's really on you, buddy, because I'm going to take the Aggies and give the 6.5 at home against Miami. I think that's going to be – I think on game day you're going to see a lot of talk about this game and people picking Miami, and I get it. I think that that team, it's still early enough in this season, they're still talented enough at home to be the angry team that actually responds and comes out and plays a good football game. And if they don't, then I'm on the bandwagon – Jimbo of let's come on, oil money. What, 90-some million bucks? Come on, we can figure this out. I think the Aggies are going to respond and win by about 10.
If I'm Jimbo, I'm hoping they fire me. You'd pay $94 million not to do anything. Be great. Michelle, your first individual selection.
I'm switching over to the NFL, guys. When I saw this line, I thought this was easy money. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to have a bounce back week. They're playing the Dallas Cowboys. They don't have a quarterback currently. So I'm taking the Bengals minus the 7. I think they win by about 10, making it my lock.
Guaranteed.
Locking down on Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals going on the road. So looking forward to that. I will go in direct opposition of Joe Rexroad to begin this. Give me Miami.
Let's go.
Plus 6.5. I've seen Texas A&M play, and I've watched a decent amount of them the first two games. Their offense is atrocious. Their defense is pretty good, but their offense is not very good. And I think Miami, I don't know if I'm comfortable saying wins outright, although I'm kind of leaning that way at the moment, but I'll go Miami plus the 6.5. Against Texas A&M. I'll get us started with our second round of individual picks as well. Give me the Green Bay Packers against the Bears, minus 9.5, and making my lock. This is hilarious this week. The Bears talk, the Bears love. It's Sunday night. It's Lambeau Field. They're going to kill them. Give me the Packers, minus 9.5, locking down against the Chicago Bears.
You still listening, Piven? Huh? He's trembling with fear. He's way too high in his Bears.
It's going to be a bloodbath out there. We'll see what happens on that front. Michelle Knezovic, your second individual selection.
Side note, I just can't wait for that game, and I can't wait to follow Robbie on Twitter during that game. Okay, switching back to college football. I know they've been on a losing streak, but Florida State against Louisville. Florida State is favored by 2.5. Louisville football sucks, to be completely honest. L's down. I think Florida State easily covers the 2.5 for that one. So give me Florida State minus the 2.5. L's down, baby.
Florida State.
Yeah, that sounded like you were channeling Stillman a little bit to get after his alma mater. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Maybe so.
Listen, I don't know that I've heard you say sucks on the air.
Listen,
ever.
Syracuse football beat them by quite a bit a week ago. I think Florida State will be fine.
Their cheeks.
And Syracuse also sucks.
Not very good. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with what's working in the most embarrassing scheduling in college football this year, Jim Harbaugh. Again, Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn, dude. Michigan minus 47.5. It's a name your score game, but I just think those lines, a lot of times you get a little bit of, let's get the backups in there, and then the other team wants a little bit of life, and I think UConn will only lose by about like 42. And congratulations,
way to go, UConn.
Jim Harbaugh, on your elite dominant team that still has not played a football game.
Michelle Knezovic, your final individual selection.
Okay, final selection, guys. Back to the NFL for me. I'm taking the Steelers plus the 2.5 over the Patriots. I honestly don't even know if the Patriots will go 500 this year. I don't think they're very good. Also, Mac Jones was out of practice this week. So give me the Steelers plus the 2.5.
Steelers.
And I think on the money line.
Plus 2.5. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
I was so excited. I was muted. Two mutes. Let's end the week on a high note. Commanders at Lions. Lions minus 1. Commanders lock.
Jeez.
That Carson Wentz is going to go in there and just, I can't wait. You know what? First of all, I want to see, they had like standing room only for the Eagles. Now, how much does that get cut around this week? And then the next time they're at home, when everybody realizes they're awful, what will the crowd look like then? Yeah, it's the Commanders are going to go in there and throw the ball all over the yard. The Lions are terrible defensively. This is easy money.
You big Carson Wentz guy?
Carson Wentz will look very good against the Detroit Lions. Trust me.
There's two that I'm going back and forth between for my final individual selection. I like an NFL game very much between the Saints and Tampa. The Saints are plus 2.5 at home, but I don't think I'm going to go that way because it is Tom Brady on the other side. Give me Georgia minus 24.5 against South Carolina.
I looked at that one.
South Carolina's not good, and Georgia's the best team in the country so far. Georgia could probably hang up 60 points in this game if they really wanted to. We'll see what ends up happening, but I will go the Bulldogs minus 24.5 on the road against South Carolina.
Yeah, I like that pick.
It's not going overly well for Shane Beamer thus far.
Yeah, he's had some interesting pressers, too.
Yes.
He is an interesting guy.
He's a lot of energy, that Shane Beamer, down there.
Have you seen the DJ Burnside recent? Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. everybody follow Dennis J. Burnside on Twitter.
We will retweet it.
That's my advice today.
Beautiful stuff. This has been Pigskin Pick'em. Ladies, gentlemen, good luck this weekend. Very early in the competition.
Elliot.
Thank you. We'll come back. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Bills. Look ahead to an interesting weekend in both the NFL and college football, well, including one stat that was thrown out there earlier that is pretty hard for me to believe. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Sunday's NFL Games of the Week on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. First game will be the New England Patriots against the Pittsburgh Steelers at noon, followed by the Bengals and Cowboys. The NFL Games of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbic and Superbook Sports. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Please play this tonight. Mother Love Bone Song, which is the band before Eddie Vedder joined Pearl Jam, by the way, in case anybody didn't know. I'm a dork. In case anyone didn't know. But please play that song.
Oh, did we not know that?
I mean.
Yeah.
If anybody's in Bridgestone tonight, it'll be readily apparent to you.
You can find Rex Road in line to buy a concert t-shirt before the concert begins tonight.
But maybe I should wear a flannel, you know? Maybe. Or harken back to the college days. I don't know.
Maybe so. I'm interested to see
Speaking of which, well, we'll get to that.
No, okay. We'll get to that a little bit later here in this segment coming up. Joe, the interesting stat that I saw earlier today, Michael DiRocco put this out there, ESPN Nation, NFL Nation Jags reporter. Jaguars are 5-30 in their last 35 games, which, by the way, in a league that's designed for you to be as average as you can possibly be, 5-30 in the last 35 games, just terrible.
Well, with the talent they've had.
Yeah.
Incredibly terrible.
Three of those victories have come against the Indianapolis Colts. 2019 season finale, 2020 season opener, and obviously last year, the 2021 season finale as well. So of their five wins in their last 35 games, three of them for the Jacksonville Jaguars have come against the Colts, and that is the matchup this weekend. Indy and Jacksonville down in Jacksonville, a place where Indianapolis has not won since 2014. Pretty incredible.
I'm trying to think of, in the NFL, I'm sure there are some other examples, but of an example of division rivals that are huge gap between them in quality over a long period of time where there's that big a difference head-to-head the other way. I can't imagine it's a lot. This would be like the freaking Lions, you know, dominating, you know, welfare stealer Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You know, or ayahuasca guy, you know. It's like, of course that's not going to happen.
It's really weird, but I mean, if you're a Titans fan, how sweet would it be to be on Sunday, regardless of what happens in the Bills game coming up this weekend? Because we talked about it. How important is this game? Well, it's really only as important as your division makes it out to be. It'd be nice to be a Titans fan, just kicking back on Sunday afternoon, and all of a sudden you look down, and it's the fourth quarter, and Jacksonville's got a 7-point lead on Indianapolis at home. It would be beautiful. I will say, though, I don't expect it to happen.
Well, if it does happen, that's an interesting situation for Titans Twitter. How much trash do you talk? You got the day.
You
like,
talk
nothing
trash.
Bad can happen to your team on that day. But then, you know, the next night, you're on the tail end of like a 38-17 beatdown.
It could be.
You know.
But there's still.
But I guess you still got to get in your trash talk while you can, right?
Like, optically, it's still a better look to lose to the Bills than lose in any fashion to Jacksonville, I think.
Yeah, new culture.
It is a new culture.
It's a new day.
Looked very much like the same team out there last week.
Well, they couldn't quite beat out Carson Wentz. Are you going to really blame them? Come on.
I will say, you know, I like Trevor Lawrence. He was a really good player at Clemson. Great player at Clemson. I think he's got all the tools to be successful in the NFL. It's been very underwhelming so far. I think a lot of people, myself included, put most of that on Urban Meyer last year. The pick he threw in the game, late in the game, as they're trying to drive down the field last week against Washington, was awful. And he's got to stop throwing like those just awful interceptions. And didn't really throw those in college, so it's weird. It is the NFL. I get it. It's faster, all that stuff. But it was a brutal pick last week.
Yes.
He's got to get better.
Yeah. No. No doubt. No doubt about it. On that front, if we flip it around to the Titans, I know we do have Monday. That's like your mindset is like, okay, into the game. It's like, well, we have the entire Monday show. You know, Ryan Tannehill didn't come close to throwing an interception on Sunday.
No.
Like, this week would be a very different week because of one kick.
It really would.
Especially, I think, when it comes to number 17. Because it just gets forgotten with all the other stuff that went wrong. But I got to say, you know, again, we've talked about the 720-plus plays and all that stuff, and you know, let's pump the brakes on explosive passing offense. But the more – I think I probably wasn't as appreciative of how well he played in the direct aftermath of that game as I should have been. He was pretty good.
He's pretty good. Wasn't perfect, but he's pretty good. There's no question about it.
I still – and I asked Vrabel about it, and he just wouldn't get into the details, but I still – and I don't know why it wasn't asked. Could I ask Tannehill yesterday? The play with the little play action and then Henry in the flat. I still want to know what happened on that play.
Yeah, that's the play I'm talking about. Like, you hit him there for a touchdown. Game's a little different too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a weird one. It's like there must have been something else he was waiting to see.
I guess.
But there was nobody else who even was really possible on that play. It's like that or –
throw it away.
Eat it. Yeah. Throw it away.
What's the most intriguing game to you this weekend? There's a few that stand out in the NFL to me. There's Bucks Saints. That one's pretty intriguing. You know, we were talking about Julio last week. Well, he's on the injury report. Mike Evans is on the injury report. Chris Godwin is injured as well. So, not sure if the Bucks are going to have any receivers running around in this game coming up on Sunday. You got the Dolphins and the Ravens, which could be a pretty good one. I mean, Bengals and Cowboys would probably be the answer prior to Dak getting hurt, but now that one's lost a little bit of steam. I mean, this one's not really intriguing to me, but the Browns and Jets. Are the Jets going to let Joe Flacco throw the ball 59 times in a game again? That's intriguing to me.
It's not
59 times they let him throw the ball.
That's ridiculous. It's not a great week.
It's really not.
You know, we just had a great one last night, and it lived up to it. I mean, honestly, Vikings-Eagles intrigues the heck out of me, and I'm angry that they have Monday night football games that are conflicting with each other.
Glad they're going at the same time. It's good stuff.
But I'm with you on Dolphins-Ravens. I'm also very interested in Patriots-Steelers. Like, are the Patriots just going to go out and just stink it up and start 0-2?
I think they might be bad.
They might be bad. They might be bad. But, yeah, Dolphins-Ravens, it's fun. I think probably – the early game that I'm going to watch more than any other. I'm impressed with what the Dolphins could possibly be this year.
And as we were told last week in the immediate aftermath of the game, Arthur Smith said, go ahead and bury the Falcons. They'll just go back to work. They're on the road taking on the defending Super Bowl champions. Excuse me, the reigning Super Bowl champion, L.A. Rams, coming up on Sunday afternoon. So we'll see if Marcus Mariota responds. I thought he played well for the most part last week, and then a couple turnovers. Not great.
It's tough for him because that would have been a huge win. And they were like Marcus Mariota, two former Titans stalwarts, Marcus Mariota and Dean Pease, were having incredible days.
Yeah.
It was 23-10. They're about to make it 30-10. Absolutely nothing going for the Saints. Dean Pease's defense is just completely befuddling them. Mariota fumbles inside the five, and he said after the game that he didn't realize where he was on the field. He didn't realize he had already gotten the first down or he would have gone down. Yeah.
It's not good.
And then it's still 26-10 eventually, but then that defense gets softened up and play a little soft zone and they lose. So I don't know, man. I like Arthur Smith's fire. I don't know if I like him in this matchup on the road.
Joe, tell us about your friends at OrderGreen.com.
Absolutely. OrderGreen.com. This is the nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. Wide selection of high-quality THC, CBD products, edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, you name it, they got it. Great for me in terms of stress, anxiety, inflammation. Had a big hoops day this week. Helped out. But also, you know, on a personal note, we have friends and a mother who has a serious health condition, gave her some of these products. For nausea and pain, and she loved them. So there's a lot of benefits. This team has extensive knowledge of the product. You're going to know you're receiving the highest quality of product from reputable providers. It's nationwide same-day delivery right to your doorstep. You save 25% off every shipment of gummies with a subscription. And if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back coming up on Monday morning to recap a busy weekend of football here in the area and look ahead at the Titans and Bills as well. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace is coming up next. I'll be with Willie to begin the show as well. So looking forward to that. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.